I'm curious, what's life been like for you since Election Day as you geared up to take on this new responsibility?
Well, I believe I told you I was going to take a nap.
You did.
Right after the election. And I got a nap in. After that, got to work on, you know, looking a little bit under the hood, figuring out what we've got over here in the auditor's office and putting a plan together for moving forward to address some of the things that I talked about on the campaign trail. And I've been at work, started work on Thursday. So we're almost, we're 5 days in and putting the final touches on an executive team and have met with a lot of the good, hardworking state team members here in the auditor's office who are career, you know, auditors. And I think they're excited about the new direction and moving forward.
There were a number of initiatives that we talked about during the campaign that you wanted to tackle if you were elected. Now that you are in office, what are some of the things at the top of your priority list as you open up your term?
Well, we're still going to we've begun assembling the team and the plan for a floor-to-ceiling audit of the DMV. Even as we're putting the team together to accomplish that audit, with the expectation that we'll come out with some solid recommendations on making things right, we ran around the table and had several stories from folks that work here in the auditor's office of waiting, you know, 8 hours in line and not even getting into the office, standing in cold, freezing rain. You know, Chris, we got to do better on that. And I haven't seen any progress out of the DMV. So, again, that's why I'm going to take that on from the auditor's office to give some recommendations. And I'm very hopeful that the governor will take those recommendations and we can have some common sense solutions to make the DMV work. We're also, you know, as a result of the really tragic hurricane results and what happened in Western North Carolina, the devastation there, we're gonna drill down on auditing disaster response, not just the financial end of it, but the effectiveness and the efficiency of the response.
Let me piggyback on the DMV for a second, if I could. Do you have a timeline for when you'd like to get some of those recommendations out?
Yeah, I'd like to get those recommendations out, you know, within the next 6 months, 7 months. I think it's incumbent for me to hit the ground running on that. Again, we need to do it in a way that is professional and comprehensive. My hope is to also be able to release some mini findings as we begin to do the full floor to ceiling audit. My hope is that along the way, when we finish up some portions of that larger look, that we can give the public some sort of a progress report, kind of like you got in grade school, right? The teacher sent a progress report in. My intention is to run audits like that, particularly when it relates to discretionary performance audits, and to give the public a progress report. So, you know, my internal timeline is, you know, by the summer to have a complete audit.
You mentioned
some progress along the way, Chris.
You mentioned auditing disaster relief as well. Would you like to apply a similar strategy to that as you do with the DMV to release those maybe interim progress reports as you go along with your findings?
Yeah. In fact, I think we're going to be more robust on that. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to take the approach on these disaster funds to do more of a tracking as opposed to auditing. So it'll be more like a weekly audit report on these disaster funds on the financial end. Now, on the effectiveness end, it's a little bit more difficult to give sort of a weekly or monthly report, but I think the public would expect, and I don't think it's unreasonable for the public to expect, at least a quarterly report on sort of the effectiveness and the performance of the disaster response.
Visiting with newly elected State Auditor Dave Bullock, changing gears on you quickly, if I could, there was some news out recently where the General Assembly gave your office control of the State Board of Elections. Now, this, of course, pending some court challenges. When did you find out, Mr. Auditor, this could be a possibility for your office to have this oversight?
I got a call that the Senate was considering it and the House was considering it. Maybe a couple of days before the bill was introduced. I was kind of surprised, but you know, my response was, if the General Assembly delegates the state auditor that authority, then we're going to execute it in a professional, nonpartisan way, and that's my intention.
Kind of a two-part question to piggyback off that. Do you think you would still be have given this authority if your political affiliation was different? And how do you take that maybe public perception that this is a partisan move and get beyond that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's a hard question to answer. You know, that would have been up to whatever individual legislature, and depend. I guess it would depend on who got elected into office. If Ms. Holmes was elected, Alder Holmes was reelected. You know, I would say this, Chris. Let me add this. You know, took the oath of office on January the 1st, yeah. And as part of the auditor's oath, there actually is a third oath that is special to the auditor's office, and that is that you'll execute this office in a nonpartisan, accountable way. So I think that hopefully that type of thing will add some confidence in the public on this office administering the boards of elections. You know, I think moving forward, the key is going to be to work to appoint members of the state board and county boards who have the profession of elections in mind, and with the idea and through the lens of giving the public confidence in the election results. You know, Chris, you look at what's happened in Florida. Florida was, you and I remember, and maybe some of your listeners, if they're young, don't, but we remember the hanging chad.
Yes, sir.
In Florida, right? And Florida has come a full 180. They are the, that state has been the shining example of how to get elections administered and done on election day. To me, election day is like the Super Bowl for elections, and you know, that ought to be all hands on deck, and I think the public ought to expect the results to be wrapped up on election day, or certainly as close as possible. Shouldn't be a week later.
As I begin to let you go, Mr. Auditor, what are the biggest things you want our listeners to know just overall about the work that you intend to do as the state auditor?
Well, I mean, look, I think it's really important to continue the bread and butter work of the state auditor's office, which is the financial accountability, universities, community colleges, state agencies. And we've got a really solid team, and we've got some leadership in that team that we're putting in place to make sure that that continues. I think what the public can expect from this office moving forward is a more robust effort in the sense of looking at the performance of state government, municipalities, counties, and non-governmental organizations that receive state dollars, and us asking the tough questions of what kind of return on investment for taxpayer dollars are you giving the public? I'm looking forward. We've already started. We're getting to work, and I'm glad to come on, Chris, give you progress reports as we get things done.
Thank you so much, State Auditor Dave Bullock. Dave, always appreciate your candor, your perspective, and look forward to our visits continuing in the future.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks so much.
Happy New Year again.
Happy New Year, you too. Thanks so much.